I'm Aryeh Cohen, and this is Daf Shui, Weekly Daf. Give me 40 minutes or so, and I'll give you a daf or so. So it's day 51 of the war in Gaza and Israel. Some little sparks of light with the release of the hostages over the weekend. We're all really happy about that, but happy about something to be happy about. But people in Gaza are still living under horrid conditions. They're letting in some more humanitarian aid. But if things don't, if the ceasefire doesn't continue, there's the very great threat of disease and starvation, both north and south in Gaza, and we're worried about that. We're also worried about the fact that, as of now, the war is scheduled to continue in 4 days, so hopefully that won't happen. And now for a special request. If you enjoy this podcast and learn something from it, or are just distracted by it from doomscrolling for a bit, I want to ask you to help support the podcast. We are a pretty lean operation. We have a walk-in closet, a mic, a laptop, a Gemara, and a make-believe Beit Midrash of thousands. Some of you have been supporting Daf Shui for a while, and we really appreciate that. You can support Daf Shui Weekly Daf by going to our Patreon page, www.patreon.com/Daf Shui, which is also linked on the podcast page, and becoming card-carrying members of the Beit Midrash. Remember, we are not one of those corporate Daf Shui outfits. We're more of a rickety storefront Daf Shui. Thank you so much. Who's Daf?
Our Daf! Who's Daf? Our Daf! Who's Daf? Our Daf!
Okay, in order to get to this week's daf, we're going to have to back up a little bit to the end of 114b in the page pagination. That's a good word. Pagination set out first by the widow and brothers Ram. And in that vein, you should remember that this year is the 500th anniversary of the first complete printing of the Talmud in Sansino in Italy by the Sansino Printing House. And we celebrate that by continuing to study Talmud. There was a massive, major innovation to print the whole Talmud in terms of accessibility and all kinds of other things, but we just want to note that now. So we're going to go back to the end of 114b. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Yehuda ben Rabbi Shimon Dvar Torah Ha'av Yereshet Beno V'Isha Yereshet Et Bena Shneamar Matot Makish Mateha Aim Lemateha Av Ma Mateha Av Av Yereshet Beno Af Mateha Aim Isha Yereshet Et Bena. We saw this last week. Rabbi Yochanan said, in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, son of Rabbi Shimon, it is a matter of Torah law that a father inherits from his son and a mother inherits from her daughter. For it says in the verse in Numbers describing inheritance, Matot, tribes. There is a comparison of the tribe of the mother and the tribe of the father. Just as with the tribe of the father inherits his son, so too with the tribe of the mother inherits from her son. So now the Gemara asks, Eitve Rabbi Yochanan l'Rabbi Yehuda ben Shimon, Ha'isha et bina, va'isha et bala, va'achi ha'em, manchilim, velo nochalin. After citing Rabbi Yehuda ben Shimon's statement, Rabbi Yochanan challenges it based on our Mishnah, which says, a woman bequeaths to her son and her husband, but does not inherit from them. The statement of the Mishnah contradicts Rabbi Yehuda ben Shimon's statement. So what is going on here? Amar le'ay Mishnatenu, eini yodei mishana'ah. Rabbi Yehuda ben Shimon answers, I do not know who taught our Mishnah. This is an interesting phrase. What does it mean when an Amora, a Babylonian sage, says, I don't know who taught our Mishnah? Rashbam says that Rabbi Yehuda is saying that this part of the Mishnah is not ikar, or essential. Since in the continuation of the discussion here, the Stam makes clear that in one way or another, we get to the law that a woman inherits from her son. David Olivney Weiss, jumping from the 13th century to the 20th century, David Olivney Weiss says that it just means what it seems to mean. I don't know who wrote this Mishnah. There are, however, other ways that at times Amoraim, or the sages of the Bavli, indicate that they dismiss a Mishnah. In that case, they would say, Zu eina Mishnah. This is not a Mishnah, meaning that this is not a good Mishnah or an official Mishnah. In other words, it is not law. That is not our case, where it seems that Rabbi Yehuda ben Shimon is just saying simply, I don't know who wrote this Mishnah. This does point to the realities of perhaps the literary precarity of an oral tradition, or perhaps a tradition in general, when not all the participants have access to all the sources. V'lei malei Reb Zecharia ben HaKatzavi, d'la darish matot. So, this Tam suggests, let's say that the Mishnah was written by or agrees with Rabbi Zechariah ben HaKatzav, who does not use the Midrash on the word tribes, matot, to derive that women, just as men, inherit from their sons. We met Rabbi Zechariah ben HaKatzav on 111a, where he said that sons and daughters were equal in the inheritance of their mother. This is going to come up in a minute, so consider this a trigger warning. La mi tukma matnitin kereb Zechariah ben HaKatzav de katani uvnei achot. B'tana bnei achot v'lo bnot achot. V'amrina l'may hilchita v'amarav sheitshet l'kadem. The Stam puts the kibosh on this possibility. We cannot claim that the Mishnah is in accord with Reb Zechariah ben HaKatzav, because the Mishnah, in the context of listing those who inherit but don't bequeath, lists bnei achot, nephews, and not nieces. And the Stam there asks, what does stating this add to our halachic understanding? And Rav Sheshet, 6th generation Babylonian Amora, answers, in order to teach that we prioritize the sons over the daughters. And if we want to align our Mishnah with Reb Zechariah ben HaKatzav, we would run into the difficulty that Rabbi Zechariah ben HaKatzav says the son and the daughter are equal in relation to inheriting from the estate of the mother. V'tana didan minat mimanefshach. So what about the Tana of our Mishnah? If he does read matot, tribes, midrashically, then a woman should inherit from her son. And the Mishnah says the opposite. The Rashbam explains that there is another issue hiding here. That is the issue of whether or not one can deploy a midrash only partially. We saw above on 111a that the law that a son precedes a daughter in the estate of the mother is derived midrashically from the word matot. However, here we see that the word matot is used to midrashically derive that a woman inherits her son. So shouldn't the law in our Mishnah be that a woman inherits her son, since the Tana of our Mishnah seems to be using a midrash on the word matot? On the other hand, ila darish matot ben dekodim labat benichseya eminale. If the Tana of our Mishnah does not read matot, tribes, midrashically, what is the Tana's source to say that a son has precedence over a daughter in the mother's estate? La'olam darish matot. V'shani hacha de'amar kra v'chol bat yoreshet nachala. Yoreshet ve'na moreshet. The Stam answers that, actually, the Tana does read matot midrashically. So why does this Tana then say that a son has precedence over the daughter in the mother's estate? This is only because of the verse which says, this is Numbers 36:8, and every daughter inheriting an estate from the tribes of the Israelites, that is, the daughter she inherits but does not bequeath. This midrash points to an exception in the general midrashic use of matot. We now move on to the next Mishnah. Seder Nachalot Kahu. Ish Kiyamut Uven Ein Lo Vavartem Et Nachalato Levito. The order of inheritance is as follows, and the Mishnah quotes Numbers 27:8. Should a man die without having a son, you shall pass on his estate to his daughters. Ben Kodem Labat. Koyotze Yerecho Shel Ben Kodmin Labat. The son precedes the daughter. All the descendants of the son precede the daughter. That is, if Reuven died, and he had two children, Archie and Betty, if Archie had already passed on, poor kid, the inheritance would then go to any of Archie's kids prior to going to Betty. This is reading the phrase, Uven Ein Lo, without having a son, very strongly, meaning not only not having a son, but also not having any male descendants through the son. The question of why this is so, that is, why not go straight to Betty if Archie is dead, is taken up in the Gemara. Another thing that comes out of this is that this is perhaps the ultimate undermining of the victory of Tzlafchad's daughters. The daughters, as you may remember, complained to Moses that their father Tzlafchad died without leaving a male heir. And because up till that point, there was no possibility for a female heir to inherit, Tzlafchad's name would end up being erased since his estate would go out of the family. Moshe brings this question to God, who agrees with the daughters that they, in fact, should inherit their father. The verse quoted in the Mishnah is the decree on this that Moshe brings from God. It seems on its face that this is the daughter's victory. If there is no son, then the inheritance goes to the daughters. This rule is actually limited later on in that the daughters must marry somebody from the father's tribe. However, the Mishnah now reads the verse to say that it is not only a son who inherits before a daughter, but also all the descendants of the son who inherit first. We'll get to this later on in the sugya, where we see the very important difference between a son inheriting in his own right and the daughter of a son inheriting in the right of her father, and the daughter only inheriting after there aren't any sons. We continue in the Mishnah. Bat kodemet la'achin. Yotzei recha shel bat kodmin la'achin. A daughter precedes the brothers of the dead person. That is, Betty takes precedence in inheritance over her uncle's, Reuven's brothers. All of the daughters take precedence over the brothers of the dead person. Achin kodmin la'achi ha'av. Yotzei rechan shel achin kodmin la'achi ha'av. The brothers of the dead person take precedence over the uncles of the dead person. This assumes, according to the commentaries, that the father of the dead person is next in line after the brothers of the dead person. That is, if Reuven dies, and then his son Archie is dead and has no children, and his daughter Betty is dead and has no children, and Reuven's brothers are also unavailable as a result of their being dead, Reuven's father Yankel inherits. If Reuven's father is dead, Reuven's uncles, that is his father's brothers, inherit. Ze haklal. Kol hakodem benachala yotzei yirechal kodmin. Va'av kodem lechol yotzei yirechal. This is the general principle concerning inheritance. The descendants of an heir, who themselves have precedence, take precedence in the place of the heir. The father has precedence over all his descendants. Tznor Rabbanan. The rabbis teach in what appears to be a Tannaitic text. Parts of this appear in the Tannaitic Midrash Sifri to Numbers, but the whole Braita does not appear in any other text, though there is a similar Braita quoted in the Yerushalmi to this Mishnah. Ben, Ein li ella ben, ben habat, o bat haben, o ben bat haben minayin. Talmud lomar, ein lo ayein alav. The verse says, son, ben. From this I can only derive son. What about the son of the son, or the daughter of the son? That is, the grandson or the granddaughter of the deceased person. Or the son's daughter's son, the great-grandson by way of the granddaughter. We derive from the phrase, ein lo, that is, he has no, in the verse in Numbers, ayein alav, investigate it or research it. That is, follow that line, whether male or female, until you get to a living heir. This is a phonetic midrash. The phrase ein lo sounds like ayein alav, or rather ein sounds like ayein, that is, none is like investigate. This midrash only works if the ayin is not pronounced as a guttural, as ayin alav, as opposed to ayin alav, as it is today and has been for many centuries by North African and Middle Eastern Jews, which is interesting. We continue the Braita. Well, before we continue, just an aside, the only way we know how things were pronounced in late antiquity is by how they were transcribed. So we do know that ayin was a guttural, which is how we get the transliteration of Aza as being Gaza. In Arabic, it's a Gaza because of the fact that we have it in the Greek as Gaza. And so we can assume that it was a guttural. It's interesting here if there is a midrash which is dependent on it not being a guttural, meaning that perhaps in Babylonia they did not pronounce the ayin as an ayin, but just as an ayin, the same way as an aleph. Don't know, just putting that out there for all you linguistic detectives. We continue the Braita. Bat en li ela bat. Bat habat u ben habat u bat ben habat minayin. Talmud lomar en lo ayin alav. The verse says daughter. From this, I can only derive daughter. From where would I derive granddaughter through the daughter, or grandson through the daughter, and great-granddaughter via the daughter and the grandson? We derive, again, from the same midrash, from the phrase, ein lo, he has no, in the verse in Numbers. Ayein alav, investigate it or research it. Haketzad. Nachala memashmeshet volechet ad Reuven. How so? The line of inheritance is investigated up till Reuven, Jacob's son. That is, we would trace the line down and all the way back up to find relatives, even to Jacob's sons, if we must. There's an interesting difference between the Braita as it appears here in the Bavli and as it appears in the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi does not have the midrash of Ayin and Ein. In the version of the Braita that the Yerushalmi quotes, the derivation of the first part, that is the sons and grandsons, is from the word ben, or son, which they read midrashically as ben mikomakom. That is, it says son, and it means son in any event, meaning son and all the son's descendants. The same with bat, or daughter, in which the midrash says bat mikomakom. Daughter in any event, that is the daughter's descendants. This braita reinforces or supports the law in the Mishnah that when the son precedes the daughter, it means the son and all the descendants of the son. And so too, the daughter precedes the brother of the deceased, and that means the daughter and all her descendants. The Stam now asks a question about the last line of the braita, which says that the line of inheritance is investigated all the way up to Reuven. Velema ad Yaakov. Say that it is traced all the way back to Yaakov, not just Reuven, but Reuven's father, Jacob. Amar Abaye, Gemiri de la Kala Shifta. Abaye has an interesting answer. He says that we only trace back to Reuven because if we traced it back to Jacob, that would eliminate the tribe. Jacob was pre-tribes. He gave birth to the tribes. We only trace back within the framework of the tribes. Rashbam quotes the 12th century Tunisian commentator Rabbeinu Hananel, who supports this idea with a verse from Malachi 3:6. Ki ani Adonai lo shaniti, v'atem bnei Yaakov lo chilitem. For I am God, I have not changed. And you are the children of Jacob, you have not ceased to be. So the children of Jacob will not cease to be. Therefore, we only investigate the line back to Reuven and not back to Jacob. And Reuven means we trace it back to Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Gad, any of the 12 tribes.
This week's Daf Shvui is brought to you by Plukta, the only app you will ever need to navigate holiday weekends or meals or phone calls with relatives. We all know that we are living in extremely divisive and polarized times. Holidays, when those of us who are fortunate enough to have loving families have to actually spend time with them and talk to them and listen to them, are especially tricky. Topics of conversation that are sensitive always pop up. Is there a movie that is definitely the best Christmas movie ever? And isn't it Die Hard? Amazingly, there are people in our own familial circles who would not admit the truth on this. There are many other issues about which the truth is so glaringly obvious, and yet some of our loved ones walk in darkness and spout falsehoods. As Ram Dass said, if you think you're enlightened, go home for the holidays. But now, there is Plukta. Using all manner of new and old technology, this AI-powered app will supply the knockout answers to any challenges to your core beliefs, or even to questions of whether Ben and Jerry's, or Häagen-Dazs, Ben and Jerry's, of course. You can go home wrapped in a sublime confidence that at the other end of the weekend, you will still be right. And now, for listeners to Daf Shvui, your first Plugta fight is free at www.plugta.com/Daf Shvui.
Rav Huna now presents a statement in the name of Rav, which takes the idea that a daughter does not inherit equally with the son when the son is alive to the level of a principal. Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav, Kol HaOmer Tirash Bat Im Bat HaBen, Afilu Nasi Shebi Yisrael, Ein Shom In Lo, Sheinan Ela Maseit Stukin. Rav Huna says in the name of Rav, anyone who says, and here this means any judge who rules, at least according to the Rashbam, that the daughter of the deceased inherits with the daughter of the son of the deceased, even if it were the patriarch of Israel who would say that, we do not listen to them, for it is only an act of the Sadducees. At this point, the Stam introduces a passage from a text called Megillat Ta'anit, the Scroll of Fasts, which is a list of all the days in the year on which good things happen to the Jewish people, and therefore it is forbidden to fast on those days. The scroll itself, which is very short, as it only contains the list of 35 days on which one is not allowed to fast. The scroll is written in Aramaic, towards the end of the Second Temple. There's a later commentary on it written in Hebrew, though the commentary is later, not really later, it also dates from late antiquity, and it is quoted in the Talmud, or perhaps some of the Talmud made its way into the scroll. The most famous entry in the scroll is probably the entry for Hanukkah. It is the basis for the Bavli's discussion of Hanukkah and the centering of the miracle of the oil. On one of those days that's listed in the scroll, there was a debate between the rabbis and the Sadducees about the law of inheritance, and the rabbis won. Yay! The Sadducees were a group of Jews who believed in the Torah literally, supposedly, but did not accept the rabbinic interpretations. A proof is brought to Rav's statement from the scroll. Ditanya barba av esrim betevet tivna ledina. For it is taught in a braita, on the 24th day of Tevet, we return to our law, dinana. While the text here in the Bavli says the 24th of Tevet, the text in the scroll itself, or at least the scroll itself that we have, that this happened on the 24th of the month of Av. Tevet is in the winter, Av in the summer. That is actually neither here nor there. It could be that there were different versions of the scroll, and it could be this was a scribal error or error transmission at some point. The commentary or scolion of the scroll continues. Shayut stukim omrim tirash habat imbata ben. For the Sadducees said, the daughter of the deceased shall inherit with the daughter of the son of the deceased. This is exactly the opposite of what Rav said. Nitzpah lahen Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai. Amar lahem shotim minayin zelachem. Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai challenged them, saying, fools, how do you know this? V'lo haya adam she'achziro davar chutz mizaken echad she'ya mefat peitz kinegdo ve'omer u'ma bat b'no haba'a mikoach b'no tirashenu bito haba'a mikocho lo kol sheken. And there was no person who could answer this challenge except one old man who spoke or maybe babbled. Lefat peit is later on in Hebrew means just babbled, but here it could mean spoke up or spoke sharply. Spoke up against Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and said, just as the daughter of the son of the deceased, who is in line to inherit because of the power of the deceased, shall inherit from the deceased, all the more so a daughter who is in line to inherit directly from the deceased shall inherit. Kara alav et mikra hazeh. Eile b'nei seir hachori yoshev haaretz lotan v'shuval v'tzivon v'ana. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai answered the challenge with this verse. These are the sons of Seir the Chorite, who had settled in the land, Lotan and Shoval and Sivon and Ana. That's Genesis 26:20. And it says further, four verses later, and these are the sons of Tzivon, Aya, and Ana. The fact that Tzivon and Ana are listed as brothers in verse 20, and then Tzivon is listed as Ana's father in verse 24, teaches that Tzivon slept with his mother and thus gave birth to Ana, who was a bastard. The somewhat subtle counterargument of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, as explained by the 11th century German commentator Rabbeinu Gershom, is that Ana is listed as Seir's son even though he is actually his grandson, therefore proving that the sons are like sons. That is, according to halacha, grandsons are equivalent to sons in terms of inheritance. For the moment, we will bracket the fact that this does not actually answer the original challenge, which is not about the grandsons being equivalent to sons, but rather whether the daughter of the deceased should inherit with the daughter of the son of the deceased. We continue with a stomatic interpolation into this piece from the scroll. Bedilma tre ana have? Perhaps Tzivon did not actually sleep with his mother, but rather maybe there were two different people named Ana. Sounds, you know, logical. Amaraba amina milta de la amra shvar malka umanu shmuel. Rabba responded saying, I will say something that was not even said by King Shapur. And who asked the Stam is King Shapur here? The first century Babylonian Amora, Shmuel. Igadamri Amarav Papa, Amina Milta de la Amra Shvor Malka, Umanu Rabba. There are those who have a different tradition in which it was Rav Papa who responded saying, I will say something that was not even said by King Shapur. And again, the Stam asks, who is King Shapur? The first century Babylonian Amora, Rabba. So it's a question of whether or not this is something that Shmuel didn't say or that Rabba didn't say. Amar Kra, hu Ana Demei Kara. After all, what is it that was said? The verse says in verse 24, after stating, and these are the sons of Tzivon, Aya, and Ana, says, who Ana? This is Ana. This is understood by either Rabba or Rav Papa to mean, this is the same Ana as in the beginning. That is, the Ana that is listed as Tzivon's brother, and therefore Tzivon must have slept with his mother. And now, back to our previously scheduled scolion. Amarle, Rabbi Bekach, Ata Potrani? The Sadducee replied to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Rabbi, you dismiss me with this? In other words, your answer is pretty well off the mark and weak. Amar lo shoteh. V'lo tehei Torah shlema shelano kisicha b'tzela shelachem. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai once again replied in his pastoral manner, Fool! I did that so that our Torah should not be treated as dismissively as your passing conversation. That is, there is more here than meets the eye, but I did not mention it to you because you are not worthy. However, now that you didn't accept my deflection, I will tell you the real answer. Ma levat bino sheken yafeh kocha b'makom ha'achin, tomar b'vito shehorah kocha b'makom achin, v'nitzchum. There's a kav v'chomer here, an argument from the weaker to the strong, a very specific, narrow type of syllogism. The daughter of the son inherits, and her right to inherit comes from the son of the deceased, and therefore she inherits prior to the brothers of the deceased. However, the daughter of the deceased herself, who does not inherit prior to the brothers of the deceased, can she inherit on a par with the daughter of the son, whose right is thus obviously stronger? Obviously not. And with this, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai defeated the Sadducees. Ve'oto ayom asa'uhu yom tov. And they declared that day a holiday. Yay! Before we finish for this daf, we have to go back and answer the question that we bracketed above. Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai's claim about Tzivon sleeping with his mother, and even Rabbeinu Gershom's comment that therefore grandsons are like sons, does not actually answer the original challenge, which is not about the grandsons being equivalent to sons, but rather whether the daughter of the deceased should inherit with the daughter of the son of the deceased. David Weiss Halivni, in his Makorot u'Mesorot, points out that in the Yerushalmi to this Mishnah, the debate with the Sadducees is brought, but in a much shorter version, and without naming Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. The version there is as follows. Hatzidukim omrim, bat haben v'habat, shnehem shavim. The Sadducees say, the daughter of the son and the daughter are equal in terms of inheritance. De'inun darshi, ma bat bino haba'a mikoch bini yorashtani, biti haba'a mikochi eno din shetirashini. For we, that is the Sadducees, derive midrashically using a kava homer. Whereas a grandfather descended from a son will inherit me by the power of the son, my daughter who comes to the inheritance for my power, is it not all the more so logical that she will inherit me? Amru lahan, lo. Im amartem bevat haben she'ena ba'a ela mikoach ha'achim, tomru bevat she'ena ba'a ela mikoach ha'zaken. They, that is the rabbis, reply to the Sadducees. In regards to the daughter, she is standing in for her father, who is the son of the deceased. And in that capacity, she inherits with the same right as her father's brothers, if there are any, since she is also considered a brother. However, the deceased's daughter only inherits when there are no other children. That is, she would not inherit when there were brothers. Therefore, her right to inherit is less than her brother's. And therefore, she does not inherit with the same right as the daughter of her brother, who is inheriting as her brother, essentially with a claim that precedes her claim as he is a son. This version, which does no more favors to the power of inheritance of women than our daf does not include that back and forth with the Sadducees, nor the claim about Tzivon or anybody sleeping with their mother and so on. It is much cleaner, and just as a dispute between the rabbis and the Sadducees. Weiss Halivni suggests that we have here an unfortunate mashup of two different texts. One is the debate about the granddaughter inheriting as laid out in the Yerushalmi just now. The other debate is about whether a mamzer, a bastard, inherits from his grandfather. The Sadducees say no, and the rabbis say yes. It is in this debate that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai introduces the delicate matter of Tzivon and his mother and brother's son, Ana, as a proof that Ana does inherit, thus proving the Sadducees wrong. This latter debate was floating free in the minds and mouths of the editors of the Bavli, who decided that its proper resting place was in our version of the Sadducees Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai debate and ended up mucking it up. Editors, am I right? And with this, we finish this episode of Daf Shvui, Weekly Daf. As always, my deepest gratitude to my producer, Eli Unger Sargon. Please check out his podcast, Four Qubits, with Jeff Helmreich. Also, my gratitude to my chavruta, Charlotta Fun Robert, and the communications team here at Daf Shvui, Shachar Cohen Hodos. You can keep up with me at thewidowandthebrothers@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Irmiklat, IRMIKLAT. Until that place just burns down. Be healthy, be well. See you next time.